Hallelujah. Wonderful. Wonderful spirit in here. Really. Wonderful. I'm just going to exhort till the Holy Ghost moves. I mean, I may exhort from a text, but I'm just going to exhort till the Holy Ghost moves. Because we need that worse than we need anything in this world. You hear me? Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Revelation 19, verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Out of the throne I heard this. Somebody from way up in high authority, close to the very heart of God, said, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Is the president here? Did anybody notice if he showed up tonight? If you see him or the vice president, tell him that he is included in that. All, both small and great, all ye that fear him. If any big name football players or basketball players happen to show up in here tonight, tell them that small and great, fear him, both small and great, and praise him. And then tell them that I said that there's a fella sitting down here close to the front in a wheelchair named Donnie that's on the same level as all of the rest of them big dogs. Both small and great. You tell him that I said so. That there's a few folks inside this building that'll never attain a whole lot of popularity in this world that's right up there alongside the big dogs. Hallelujah. A voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Every one of you. I got something I want to tell you, and I ain't going to tell you long about it because I don't think I ought to have to. We walked into a building tonight and sacrificed our time and our energies. And when the glass door closed behind us and we walked into this holy room where every one of us can touch God, we sanctified ourselves from anything and everything that's going on around about this church right now. There's cars zipping up and down Route 4. I see their headlights and their taillights. I can't see who's driving them. I don't know who's in there. I don't know where their radio dial is set. I don't know if the husband is screaming at the wife. I don't know if what in the world is going on inside them vehicles. But I know what we are. I know what's supposed to be going on inside the holy, sacrificial, sanctified house of the Most Holy God. I do know that. I hope there ain't one person that drove by Route 4 and looked in the direction of this church and wondered, I wonder what they're doing in there tonight. I hope every one of them had some kind of inkling that when we come into a house and a gathering like this, it's to all eyes and all hearts and all attentions be lifted heavenward, where we can literally call on that God that is how great He really is. Now listen, Brother Thomas told you, and I like it. I mean, if you want to start from A to Z, we will call Him Almighty and take Him all the way back to the end where He is Zion's hope. But inside this building tonight, the thing that's going to bring you out of what you're in is when you recognize how great God really is. The thing that's going to put your home back together is not some kind of counselor sitting across the desk looking at you. The thing that's going to put your nerves back together is not another prescription down at the local drug factory. The thing that's going to put back together you, your home, your life, your fellowship, the love, your zeal, the thing that's going to put the shout back in your feet and the worship back in your heart, the thing that's going to make you excited when young folks on the platform are singing the glories of God and not peddling dope, the thing that's going to put the joy back in there is when you recognize how big God really is and see how small all your problems really are. See how insignificant all your worries really are. When you see how big God is, it can bring your hands in the air, though you're sitting in a wheelchair. When you see how big God really is, it can bring you to your feet, even though you're battling arthritis. When you see how big God really is, it can put the glory, hallelujah, and the thank you, Jesus, inside your soul. If you never get asked to sing one song, if you never get noticed and recognized, some little preacher sitting in this building tonight that may never in their life stand behind a pulpit and preach a camp meeting. Preachers, young men in this building tonight, that the greatest aspiration that they've got is just for somebody to even be interested in letting them preach a youth rally, let alone a camp meeting. But I'm going to tell you, preacher, preacher's wife, deacon, teacher, trustee, whatever your lot in life might be, can be in a house of God just like this. Recognize how big God really is, and it don't matter where the pulpit's at. It don't matter if you're on anybody's calendar or lined up to preach one single solitary thing. When you recognize how big God really is. Now I want to tell you something. I want to tell it to you right now. Every time I turn on the radio, they're talking to me about that Russian space station. It's out there a-bobbing up and down in the horizon. They're up there trying to keep the computers up and temperatures down. They're up there trying to keep the oxygen level high and the carbon dioxide level low. They're having an awful time keeping that thing that's off the ground floating that you've ever seen in this world. And while they're up there orbiting this world with microphones and telescopes and sensitive material and sensitive equipment, testing the ozone layer and trying to find out if there is really life someplace other than this place, all of our eyes are glued to the rovers that's running across the planet Mars, telling us about all the things that they're finding there. And suddenly, with telescopes and microphones pointed to the heaven, we're listening for the slightest sound that would tell us that there's a radio signal that's bouncing from some other planet. We're looking for life somewhere other than right here. We want to hear something from outer space. We want to be told that there really are UFOs. We want to hear about it. We want these extraterrestrial beings to come down here and walk among us, because we're fascinated by the unknown, and we're fascinated by the stars, and we're fascinated at what's on the other side of what we can't see. Well, I'd like to put everybody's mind at rest right now at 20 minutes to 9. I'd like to tell Brother Moore something on his tape ministry that is absolutely liable to just shut me down. All the rest across this world, when they hear me make such a drastic statement that I'm going to do it, I'm going to tell everybody in this building there is life on Mars. Hey, Height's done lost it. He's lost ever. Height ain't got a brain in this world. The only thing they're finding up there is rocks and sand. They ain't on the right Mars. Paul jerked around and told them while he was standing on Mars, you've got your eyes on little man-made gods that ain't no higher than the wood that you've carved them out of. But there is a real God somewhere. There is a real God that's bigger than your problem, mightier than your sickness, greater than your need. And if you can get your eye on Him, it will bring you to the victory. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Hail Bop was a flop. I'm telling you, if they did try to ride the tail of the comet, they made a severe drop. They didn't get very far. You hear me? Oh God. Out of that house where they brought them poor people. Oh man. I heard this. Out of that house where they brought them poor people, upon closer examination, they found one more fella in that house, underneath the sink, still looking for the comet. Hey, don't everybody smile all at once. You're liable to start some kind of epidemic in here. That's how stupid this world really is. Still looking for the comet. Still looking for this one way out. Still looking for this one gigantic recipe. We're still looking for the right night speaker. If we can just get the right singing group to push the button. If we can get the right big name behind the right desk. Then surely, undoubtedly, we could have a meeting. I tell you what we could have inside this building right now. We could have a return of Pentecost. We could have a return of healing. We could have a return of the glory of God. And the only thing you would have to do is get your eyes about 20 degrees higher than this pulpit. And and zero your ears 20 degrees higher than this microphone and look ye to the heaven and call upon a God that ain't never seen a problem he couldn't take care of. I'm telling you right now, as I speak and stand behind this pulpit, a husband can take his wife by the hand, look into her eyes and say, it ain't right. It's not going right. It's not working right. And we've got to have help. And right now, so help me God, in the name of Jesus, you can bring that need toward the throne of grace and find grace and help in the time of that need. A young man can look over his shoulders and glance the eye of his mom and dad, and with eye contact can recognize that his lifestyle is spiraling down. His reputation is so run over, has been so flattened, that there's not a moral young lady between here and the East Coast that'll have anything to do with him. That young lady that sits in this building tonight, that's experienced life, took her virtue, laid it on the table of life, sold it to the highest bidder. I want to say something to you, sis. And I want to say something to you, boy. And I want to say something to everybody else. Such were some of you. But someplace between there and here, we came in contact with a God. And you can do the same thing tonight. Every tremor that we feel is God shifting His feet on the footstool that He calls planet Earth. And you carried a chip on your shoulder tonight that you don't think God can take care of for you. Every earthquake that registers on the Richter scale that sends vibrations up and down our backbone is God just replacing this earth in just the right way, just to let us know that He holds everything in the palm of His hand. Every time a war breaks out, every time the Israelis invade the country of Lebanon, or another Lebanese militia group stands with a satchel laden with explosives and blows themselves to hell and everybody they can take with them, that's just God leaning back and saying, I have always been in control. I am in control right now, and I shall be forevermore. So this is what I like to tell you. Put your pills back on the shelf. Put your problems back on the shelf. Look to a God in this service right now. Now, brother, really, come on. Come on here. Whatever happened to one of them outlines with point A and B and C? Give us one of them. Oh, God of heaven, we have saturated ourselves on point A, B, and C. Of late, I've listened to other tapes, not just the highway. You can hear this at the Calvary, the Pentecostal Tabernacle, Brother Allen, preaching of the gospel, and lots of space at the end of some of the sentences where there's plenty of room for thank you, Jesus, praise God, hallelujah, and glory be to God. But there's a lot of blank spaces on a lot of our tapes, a lot of empty spaces at the end of our sermons. There's a lot of voids in the middle of our songs. There's a lot of places that we can inject some things, but we have so saturated ourselves with those things that we've already heard it, and we've already seen it, and we've already felt it. Well, let's try something else. Let's try visitation of God in this sanctuary on a Tuesday night, and let Him change of the program. Listen. Listen. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Or sometimes we forget, Brother Joe, the fact. Or sometimes we're just too stinking busy to pay attention to it. With all of the violence and the crime and the backsliding and the worldliness and the lack of justice and the bad feelings and the gossip and the hypocrisy, with all of these things that mount up on our minds, we come into our churches, we find our little group, we sit down in the middle of it. If it's the way we think it ought to go, the left side of the church responds. If it ain't, the right side does. Divided in the very house of God. Don't sit there and look at me like that. Hey, we come into our little gatherings. My God of heaven. It's happened all summer. Up and down the seaboard. And across this United States of America. Some preachers afraid to say amen. Because they don't want to be categorized with the guy who happens to be preaching the truth at the time. It happened all over this country. Preachers afraid to stand up because they're afraid when they find their little group, they'll be ostracized. No chance. No chance, boys. No chance. You died in the wool in it. Ain't a problem with it. You're in for life. But I'll tell you something. Up and down this United States, we come into our houses of God. Headaches, backaches, heartaches, bad feeling, hurt feeling, dead as a hammer. No spirit of worship, no spirit of praise. And then we wonder, how come we ain't seeing God move like He used to? And I'm going to tell you, He's still shaking this earth just like He used to. He's still got the heavens in control just like He used to. He can glance across the heavens and point His finger at the brightest star in the solar system and tell it to fall, and we'll see it. On a lovely afternoon evening as it streaks across the heaven. And that's God just trying to tell this world, I hold them up there and I can turn them loose. Listen to me, would you? I just want you to listen to me for 1 minute. Don't push me and don't press me. And please don't try to make me do something that the Holy Ghost wouldn't have me to do. Just be receptive and just be responsive and then just be healed by the power of that great God and that mighty God. And we don't have to break out the bottle of oil right now, and neither do we have to take communion. You don't have to shut down and head for the baptismal tank. All you've got to do is recognize that out of the throne, the command of God is to praise the Lord, whether you are little or whether you are big. And when you do, the throne is going to respond. And when the throne responds, you are delivered! You're set free! You have revival! Hallelujah! You pray about the same stinking sin every camp meeting. You pray about the same putrefying, lustful spirit every time you get in the altar. Some of you men, you don't no more have a sanctified eyeball. You ain't no more sanctified than a goose, you hear me? And you pray about that all the time. Your radio dial is set to some barroom, bedroom tune that incites the lust and stirs you up all the way to work and all the way home. You feed on it all the way to the house of God. And you come in and sit in the church and you wonder how come the preaching ain't going over and why we having a revival anymore. I'm fixing to tell you something right now. If you get back to where you can praise God and do it with a clear conscience and in sincerity, you're going to find that revival, because it never has left. Elko, Illinois. Brother Belt. Elko, Illinois. Tabernacle. Campground. Move of God. Brother Gerald Green. Touch of God. Campground. They can show you, Brother Cornett, the very place where height made it right. In that place on that particular evening. In fact, the story still abounds. They've got me running farther down the pews than I ran. And they got me singing more songs than I even sung. They got me doing things that ain't humanly impossible. Telling down through the ages about the night in that tabernacle when the Holy Ghost got on me. And I grabbed my saxophone and I went to playing when the saints go marching in. Walking down the back of them untied down wooden benches inside that tabernacle. That I do remember. I remember coming to the end of them and wondering how under God's heaven I ever got there. Listen to me. I remember that. When I took the church at Jonesboro, Brother Pascarella, not far from that campground, I thought I had found my utopia. I'm finally back home, close to where I really got it. Doing a visitation, house to house. Visitation at the nursing home. Found an old second cousin of my grandma's. Wheelchair bound. Brother Donnie been that way a long time. I walked in, I said, well, Mr. Taylor, how you doing? He looked at me and he said, is this Mabel's little grandson that's the preacher? I said, sure is. How you doing, boy? And he said, you still got anything to do with that old camp meeting, that old tabernacle down the road at a place called Elko? And I said, well, I sure do. I go down there about every year, sweep and clean. And now that I'm the pastor, scrub most of the commodes. Got a lot to do with it. He said, you still have them kind of services that drawed people like a magnet? And I said, don't look at me like that. Yeah, we have folks, people are busy and it takes longer to get there in air-conditioned cars, you know, than it did them wagons when you were going, and there's a lot of things different now, but we still have a good crowd. He said, yeah, but do y'all still get with it? Well, yeah, we got music. Man, I said, if you could be there some night and hear we got guitars all over the place. He said, most time when we were out there watching, you couldn't hear much but an old flat top guitar. He said, does the floor still have sawdust on it? I said, oh no. I said, we got concrete now. He said, probably ain't as much fun no more, is it? And I just stood there, condemned and irritated, and almost wished I hadn't found a family member sitting there in the middle of a nursing home.
He said, "Do you know the thing that really brought us out?" And I said, "What?" He said, "We heard about camp meeting down there, and that people would shout, and when they'd get prayed for, some guy would put something on his hand and reach and touch somebody's forehead." And he said, "I don't know nothing about it, but before their hand would touch their head, that body would touch the floor." And I said, "Yeah, well, that's called getting the oil out and handing it around about 27 preachers and hope that somebody smears it on the right place." He said, "I'll tell you something else." I said, "Tell me." He said, "They'd go to rolling, and when they'd come up out of that sawdust," he said, "we got the biggest kick out of watching them people stand up after they had rolled, been anointed with oil, and sweating in that sawdust. They'd get up and it'd be on their eyes and in their mouth. It'd be all over them." And he said, "And what we were always amazed about was, the first thing we'd want to do is rake it off." And he said, "The first thing they'd do is throw their hands back up in the air, and 9 times out of 10 they'd go down for a second dunk." And I said, "Well, I'm glad to visit with you, and I'll come back by and see you one of these days while I try to figure out when in the name of God's heaven did we let a padded pew take the place of the move of God. I'll be back and see you, old timer, and try to figure out how the movie theater ever moved in our living room to take the place of the power of God that would draw men and women just to watch heaven come down." And Brother Pascarella, if I've managed to do anything at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle to go on with the paragraph that you started writing, it's to lean back in that pulpit and tell people in that house, if that God of the book of Revelation has changed in order to fit our mannerisms and style of worship, it's easy to see how people apostatize and compromise. If that God of the book of Revelation has taken a back seat to His very holy house, and He's no more in tune to the need of His people than we are in tune to the moving of the Holy Ghost of God, it's easy to see how the charismatics have taken over. It's easy to see how we've replaced the real moving of God with a fancy Dan in the pulpit and a slick move on the guitar and a new sound on the saxophone. But I'm going to tell everybody at 9 o'clock in this building, and everybody that's got enough intestinal fortitude to still be listening to this cassette tape, I'm going to tell you right now where you stand or sit or listen. The God that flung this world into existence, the God that sets upon the many waters, the God that makes the hills skip like lambs and skip like rams, is peering down at the proceedings right now, this very minute. And He is still bigger than your cancer. He is still bigger than your adultery and your fornication. He is still bigger than your past. He's bigger than your reputation. He's still bigger. And if He's not, and if He is not, then would somebody please stand and dismiss this gathering of fanatics, and let's get out to the fellowship hall and stuff our faces, because we are wasting our time. I'm still waiting for a taker. I'm still waiting for somebody foolish enough to think that they can stand and dismiss God. And since we don't have any takers tonight in the house of God, then let me put this proposition to you. This God that you can't shut him down, that's in this building right now, there's not one thing you carried in this building that he can't take care of. Brother, come on, give us a word. There's not one thing in this building that he can't take care of. We want a sermon. I don't want a sermon. I want a visitation. I don't want a sermon. You're full of them. You're freestyled on them. You've heard everything in the book. I want God to come down into this service and change your marriage. You have fought every holiness preacher that God ever put breath in. You don't need another sermon about what's right and what's wrong. You need a visitation of the God of glory, or you're going to die lost. You hear me? We don't need to jump up here and say, "You young people, quit going to the devil." Yeah, we don't need no sermon like that just right now. What we need is some young people that'll see how big God really is and lose the desire for everything round about them except the throne of God and drawing close to it. You hear me? Hey, I'm telling you, inside this building right now, I haven't come up here to preach you 5 nights of joy, height, delights. I've come up here with a wife too sick to come. Come up here, climbed out of my truck, wishing I was at home, taking care of my sweetie pie. But the last thing she told me, she said, "I really hate to miss it this year." And I said, "I know it, honey. And the folks would love to see you." She said, "No, I ain't talking about that." She said, "I'm going to miss a move of God. And I hate missing what God's a-fixing to do up there. It started last night in the tabernacle. God leaned back. Whoa! And said they've gathered there and I'm going to meet with them." And it's Tuesday night. What are you going to do? When John, who was not in a comfortable church study, not surrounded by a library of wisdom and wit, when John, who was not standing in front of his church that had voted him in and thought he was the best thing that ever wore shoe leather, when John, who was a prisoner of Rome, in exile by himself, in a perfect place to have a pity party, when John decided to do something about the Spirit of God, he grabbed a quill and he grabbed a piece of parchment, and the Holy Ghost started running up and down his backbone. He did not testify to his headaches. He did not testify to the marriage woes. He did not put his head in his hand and say, "My teenage boy's driving me crazy." And neither preacher did he find himself a little study, kneel down and cry, "Oh God, I'm the only guy left in this world trying to even have church." He didn't do it, folks. He didn't do it. He grabbed this quill. He grabbed this parchment. And when some of us would have stayed home and took 2 Tylenols, he said, "The Lord God omnipotent reign." When some of us would have stayed home, he said, "The Lord God omnipotent reigneth." I didn't even start it. Because you would have sat right there and let me finish it. And the last thing that we need in this service tonight is another checkered flag finish of the pulpiteer behind the sacred desk. They tell you what we need to finish in this place tonight is that battle that you have been fighting and raging inside your very soul. You hear me? Let me tell you what we need to finish is that awful, awful home setting that's absolutely tearing the heart out of those little children that you are to be training and raising in the admonition of God. And they live in the middle of a cesspool hornet nest where love is not there, devotion is not there, general kindness is not there. You got two human beings living under one roof that has to stay together because they sign their name on a piece of paper with ink. I'm telling you, these things are taking the shout out of our churches. These things are taking the glory out of our altars. There are demon spirits in this building tonight. The person that you're sitting beside can be a host of one of those such spirits because they're running rampant. They're in this world. Some of the unfaithfulness that goes on in the ranks of Pentecost is nothing, mister, but because you've got a lust devil. You ain't got control of yourself. Some of the things that goes on in the guise of Pentecost ain't nothing but demonic activity that has infiltrated us. And we've learned how to shout around it. And we've learned how to sing around it. And we've learned how to give an altar call around it. Until those spirits have started to become the majority. And the victory is getting farther and farther between. And the mighty touch of God in the altars. I am tired, Brother Moore, of giving an altar call and praying a guy through to a point and having him look at me with them brown eyes as if to say, God can't take me no more farther than where I'm at. You lily-livered, unsanctified, spineless creature that tries to call yourself a human, throw your carcass on the altar of God. Sacrifice yourself unto God, and He can deliver you. Talk to me, Height. Ooh, I am talking to you. I am talking to you. The other night at Calvary, we was having a gully washer. You understand what I mean? Move of God. Okay? We was shouting. I was down around the front. We'd already left that place about, come on, get in. Would you help us? Can you do it? Would you let? We'd already gone past that. I'd already cheerleaded for 45 minutes and finally got all the players on the field and we were starting to have church. You hear me? We was having a service. Folks got to shouting. Joe, one of ours, hit the ground and cleared out the men's section. You just have to know, Joe, when he hits the flow, you better go. I'm telling you, his shoes went one direction, his hand went the other. So I did the next best thing. I walked over there by a couple of the ladies from my church that I was completely safe standing beside. Carla and Wanda. Completely safe. God bless them. Lord bless the church. Thank you, Lord, for me saving my message. Bless the church. Thank you, God, that they're getting in for a change and I'm not up there plowing my guts out. Thank you, Lord. And about that time, man, my eyes crossed. They crossed, I'm telling you. And I staggered over the altar, trying to get refocused. That's when them two ladies that never do anything did something. My God, you wasn't even safe in the quiet corner. You hear me? I think if I'd have been back in the back vestibule by the water fountain, I'd have found out a secret. He's God on the platform, and he's God back at the door, and he's God in... When she hugged me, and so, when I convinced her that I was madly in love with my bride and not interested in dancing with her, she turned around and grabbed one of the other sisters and went to hugging, and I surveyed the situation a minute. We're still shouting. We're still in orbit, and I'm still dedicated to the cause. And I'm not going to let this devil. Oh, no, I'm not. So, I waltz over there beside the little dancing sweetheart. And I tap her on the shoulder, and she turns around. And she says, I want to be baptized. I said, you know we ain't got a baptismal tank. She said, the creek right outside the church. I said, it ain't got but about 3 inches of water in it. She said, well, I have just been healed, and I feel the Lord all over me. And I said, your eyes are dilated. You're so full of drugs that you haven't even got control of yourself. And I said, so let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take control. I said, the power of God is moving in this church. You ease right back down this aisle and sit down. Now don't everybody sit there and look at me like that. We've stood around and knew it wasn't right and knew we didn't know what to do until we've almost vexed ourselves right out of the move of God. Hey! Service never missed a note. Spirit of God never missed a note. Little lady asked me after church and we had a good season of prayer. I'm telling you, God never missed a note. You ain't brought nothing in this house that can disturb God. You ain't brought no problem in this house that makes God want to turn off the light and go home. He's just waiting on you to put him to the test. What are you going to do now, Brother Height? What do you mean? What am I going to do right now? I have stepped out in front of the throne, designated tonight to be God's oracle, and take your eyes and your ears and your hearts and point you toward the throne. Now, I have done that. You hear me? I have done that at the expense of not even taking a text. I've done that. I've done that at the expense of not preaching you a sermon. I've done that. Stood here and pointed you toward the throne. And if just one person can just get one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. But brother, Father, in the lovely righteous name of Jesus, standing inside this sanctuary right now of believers and unbelievers, standing in front of a congregation that will shout on a return to holiness, that will shout on a return of Pentecost, that will shout, clap their hands, raise their hands, and stand in place when anybody dares say we need to get back to the old time power of God. But we've gone past that stage right now, Father, and you have opened up a highway to your throne inside this sanctuary. We've got past the place where a amen and a how be it and a so be it and a good preaching, Brother High. We've gone past that. We've gone to the place now that angels that were dispatched at the beginning of this service have already set up camp with flaming swords and wings that touch tip to tip. They have infiltrated and encamped around about us. We're already in a sanctuary where there's enough praying men and women that's called on God today, that God's already looking in this direction. Father, here we stand tonight on a Tuesday night at the highway of holiness. There is no way to put on this tape ministry the spirit that's in this building right now. And there's no way to relay upon the ears of those that are listening the pull and the magnetism of God as He reaches up and down these aisles to backsliders and men and women, wannabes and used-to-bes of the faith. Men and women that would have never needed a cheerleader to have got them excited in God. They came through the door with a song. And now then, they don't even take the songbook out of the rack. Men and women who came into this building with the shout of God. Now then, we just live from one commentary to the next. I ask You, Holy God, to so envelop this building that as I make the altar call, it's as if God is speaking. I ask you, Lord, to so possess me right now. I ask You, God, to so become a part of me that when I speak into this microphone, men and women on planet Earth are immediately contacted and contracted into the very presence of God. Oh, God. Oh, God. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ooh. He's parting the water of lust right now that you can come across on dry ground. In the name of Jesus, He's dropping manna in your lap right now that you'll quit feasting on the beggarly elements of this world. In the name of Jesus, He's telling your heart right now, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And suddenly your Playboy literature, your dirty novels, and your unsanctified reading material is drifting off to the sideline as the power of God repossesses the vessel that was His in the beginning. In the name of Jesus Christ, if you are a backslider and you are present inside this sanctuary, God says that enough of the saints have sent praises in my direction, that this tabernacle has my attention. And God says, if you will bring your needs to the throne room of grace, you will find help in this service right here. Listen to me. Your heads are bowed and ain't nobody looking around. We're at the time now that you got to get control of your flesh and your feelings and your imagination and your mind. And you got to quit worrying about who's beside you or who's in front of you and what's anybody going to say or think. You are in the presence of the deliverance that you've been a needing to keep you out of hell, that you into heaven.